For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Dear listeners, welcome to the Kodesh Family Church, Philadelphia, under the leadership of Bishop Dag Heward Mills. This denomination has grown with over several branches all over the world. We are excited to come your way with the anointed word of God, which has the power to heal, deliver, and save you. Stay tuned as we receive God's word through his servant, Reverend Gilbert Fleischer.
Pray. Just bow down your heads and begin to talk to God. Just talk to God about this evening. Ask him to minister to you. Give him your heart this evening. For this next few minutes, just say, Lord, do with my heart as you please. Speak to me as you please. Let me not be offended by your word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, please be seated. Sometimes I read from my phone and sometimes I read on the iPad. When I'm at work, I read from my phone. So my notes are half here and half there. Wow. All right. So we're talking about types of sons. Types of sons. Very briefly. And last week, I believe that we started talking about the prodigal son, isn't it? The nature of a son is revealed by his response to his father. And Bishop says, often the good, the bad, and the ugly come out when sons have to relate to fathers. Amen. And that is why we are being taught, isn't it? We are being reminded. How many of you have tried or you were at the verge of doing something and then the word just hits you and then you correct yourself? How many people have been there before? Yeah, we all have been. So that's the purpose of God's word. Amen. Luke chapter 15. And let us read quickly 11 to 24. Luke 15. It's good to read scriptures. Luke 15 and verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living, by hard living. Living without thinking, living without wisdom, living without thinking of tomorrow, just spending, spending, spending. All right? And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. And then what happened? And he arose. Everybody say, and he arose. Yeah. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. That's the heart of a real father. Fathers always want to restore. Fathers always want to make things work again. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. 23, and bring hither the fatted calf. Fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Here ended our scripture. Thanks be. Oh, you haven't been to the Orthodox Church? Have you forgotten? Thanks be to God. Pastor Morris, is it not what we say? Yeah. All right. So we're looking at the characteristics of a prodigal son. Number one, we said a prodigal son goes away from his father and his father's house. He leaves the family in a bad way, just moves away, isn't it? And then number two, a prodigal son wants to be as far away from home as possible. Last week we talked about being distant, isn't it? And being distant is not necessarily referring to only proximity as in measured by miles or kilometers. It's part of it. But also, even more so, spiritually. And last week we talked a lot about that. Do you remember? Yes. So we must not be spiritually distant. Sometimes it's amazing when you are at meetings or you hear some of the testimonies and things that people share about Bishop, you see that there are people who are miles away from him, and they are the ones yet benefiting the most. So spiritually, they are closer to Bishop than even his own children. Yeah. If anybody has to be close to Bishop, it should be us. Don't you think so? Yeah. So we must be very careful. And I said last week that one of the things that shows even spiritual distance is when we do things that are not in line with the sort of things that are done in-house or Bishop does. Yeah. When you do certain things. You see, when you are close to somebody, especially somebody that you look up to, you realize that your life then begins to work in it. Yeah. You know, in the secular where I work, I realize that these days I'm beginning to think like my chief executive. Lady Pastor loves her. Always talking about her. Yeah, she's very hard. But I realize that my thinking in terms of management and all that, it's much more like her. Sometimes even at work, I realize I catch myself talking like her. You see? Yeah, because I look up to her. And that shows that I'm closer to her. And I realize that she really likes me more. And I enjoy working for her, even though there are hard times sometimes. Whenever it's hard, Lady Pastor will remind me that it's a good thing. Then I smile and keep moving on. It's good to have a good wife. Pastor Eugene, you are not saying amen. Your wife is saying yes. Amen. All right. So I think that's all we did last week, isn't it? So number three, a prodigal son wastes his life's opportunities. A prodigal son wastes his life's opportunities. And you can see here that this young boy wasted opportunities. Opportunities that he could have had if he had stayed home with his dad. You know, he threw it all away and took just a portion of what his inheritance was and just wasted it. So one of the signs of being prodigal is that you waste life's opportunities. Turn to your neighbor and ask your neighbor, are you wasting life's opportunities? Yeah. And one of the things I was doing as an exercise last week was I just was thinking that what are some of the opportunities, spiritual opportunities that we have in the house? All right? Now, one of the opportunities that we have in-house here in this denomination is wisdom. 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 You see, if you watch Bishop, you realize that Bishop walks in high wisdom. Yeah. Very, very high wisdom. You know, everything that he does works. Everything that he sets off to do works. It's an opportunity to have that same wisdom. You see, so when you are in this church, are you listening? Let the children talk, but still listen. When you are in this church and you lead your life in a way that you don't benefit from such great wisdom, it is questionable. Yeah. And in fact, sometimes when you listen to him, you get close to him and you listen to him, it even hurts him that his children are not benefiting from the wisdom. Wisdom for every kind of thing. Wisdom for sustained marriage. Wisdom to build. If you've not been to Ghana, you should try to visit Ghana. Because that's where the headquarters of this church is. And you'll be amazed at buildings. Yes. Wild buildings and campuses, or a campus. A campus that is even wilder than all the universities put together in the area. Very wild. Do you see? So one of the opportunities that we have to be very careful of in this place is that don't waste the wisdom. Don't waste the wisdom. You know? Sometimes I wish I had caught some of the things earlier on. Do you get it? Yeah. For example, things like buying cars. That one I think I caught early. But even buying a house. Yeah. I don't drive a car that I owe on. I've stopped. Yes. If I drive a car, it is a car that I have the title. You know, I can leave it at the mall. You know the story, right? You can leave it at the mall and roam around for hours or even go home and come back and the car will still be there. Yeah. One of the brothers was telling me about one of his cars. He has a couple of cars. And one of it broke down and he left it at the mall. He left it there for several months. Nobody touched it. Yeah. But there are some people that if you go to the mall, you have to hide your car. Or maybe cover the number plate. Because as you are shopping, do you know that at the malls, there are people so that they can't see that, yeah. Because there are people also roaming around who have been paid or who get paid based on how many cars they can pick up. That we call it repossession, repo. That they can pick up on people who have not paid their bills. Yeah? If you miss a car payment 2, 3, 4 months, you're on the wanted list. By the time you wake up one day, the car will be gone. Yeah? And one of the areas that they operate in is the mall. They will be driving around. Have you seen some of them before? Yeah? And they drive these tow trucks that are very quick. They have very fine, flexible gadgets. They'll just reverse. Or put something under the car, lift it up, they are gone. Quickly. Yeah, they are armed. Yeah. And some of them even work with the police department. So as they are towing your car, they are called, the police also on their way. So when you come, the policeman will tell you, Charlie, the car is not yours. And truthfully, it's not yours. And I don't understand why, can I be myself? I don't understand why people do that. I mean, you buy a car and you are boasting about the car. It's nice. It's nice. We'll enjoy it with you. But the truth is that it's not yours until you have what we call the title with your name on it. Yes. I think Pennsylvania is like bluish, isn't it? Yeah. Grayish, blue, yeah. With your name on it clearly. That car is not yours. New Jersey, I think, is blue. Or pink sometimes. Purplish, yeah. You know? That car is not for you. You see? And all these are keys, wisdom keys that makes your life better. Yeah? Sometimes some of us, it's because of what we owe. You know, we cannot do things. You owe so much that you can't do things. And you can't do things that will bring, listen to me, things that will bring other blessings to your life. Because the blessings that come into our lives is a result of also some investment. You sow, you reap. Do you see? Like Sunday, we have Healing Jesus service this coming Sunday. Some people are worried already that I can't give. Well, what can I give? I can't give. You see, it's because you have too many bills. So not owing is one of the keys. It's one of the wisdom keys in the house. All right? Another one I thought of is great opportunity that we can mess up is to become a worker in the church. Yes. Also a great opportunity. It's not every church that you go to. How many of you have been to other churches? I have been to other churches. In fact, I was a member of some other church in Ghana before I moved here. It is not every church that encourages everybody to work. It's not every church that encourages people to be shepherds. It's not every church that encourages people to be pastors. In fact, left to bishop alone, every church member should be a pastor. Yes, every church member should be a pastor and just lead people to Christ, preach, establish churches, plant churches. It's not everywhere. You see, so that itself is a very unique opportunity. Yeah. And many of us stay in church for years. We don't do anything. You are just content. Can I be myself? You are just content about just coming to church as a regular member. Yeah. You are just happy coming to church, close, then you go. Share the grace, go, come back, go. That is not how it's supposed to be. That is not the norm. Do you see? So I'm saying that opportunity is given to everyone in this church. Yeah. Even common things like cell group, people are still struggling with it. We've talked and talked, we are even turning blue. Cell groups, just be part of a cell group. Yeah, there are still members in the church who are not actively in any cell group. It's an opportunity. Now, why is it a great opportunity? Because, again, there are blessings linked to it. Do you understand? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. Here, the Bible encourages us to rather be strong worker. Look at it. It's therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always. Somebody say always. Always. Yeah, always means always. Rain or shine, convenient or non-convenient. Always, always, always abounding in what? In the work of the Lord. Why? For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, whatever you do for God, God will bless you. God rewards. God pays. So what I'm saying to you tonight is that it's a great opportunity to do something. Yeah. In fact, if what you want to do is not one of the regular things that is being done in church, come and talk to us. We'll make it happen. Because as for work, there's so much work in the church. Seriously. So much work. There are people to be visited. If you want somebody to visit today, just let us. We'll give you a list. Yeah. There are so many people to be prayed for. Yeah, instead of watching TV throughout the night and sleeping with your TV, let us give you a list. We'll give you a list with verses to pray about things in the church. There's so much work. You see? So when you are also in a church like this and you are not a worker, it's a great opportunity that you are missing. Yeah. It's a great opportunity. In fact, if you can understand this, you will rather be chasing after the work.
You'll be going, Pastor, what can I do? What can I do? What can be done? What can be done? What can be done? Yeah. Where's Brother Frankie? He's working tonight. Yeah. Brother Frankie put up, people to be picked up because he met, he said two or three people. Three people, he said, right? On our cell group meeting yesterday. Yeah, he said three people. And they want to come. They're in the northeast area. They said, they want. I just want to come to Lighthouse. Somebody to pick them. And they are, I bet you, they are church members in the area. They are church members who may be living 2-3 miles. Or even a walking, or even on the same block with them. And yeah, and they will not even look at it. Yeah. Are you understanding? So that is a great opportunity. And we must not miss on that. Amen. Another opportunity that we also miss is developing spiritually. You know, developing spiritually. We are exposed to so much exercise. You see, there are people sitting in church who wish they were spiritual. Have you met somebody like that before? They were saying, yeah, oh, how I wish I was spiritual. Or express it in some other, how I wish I was. What is it? Oh, I used to be. I wish I was spiritual. Do you see? Yeah? Or I wish I could preach this way. Or I wish I could raise the dead. Raising the dead does not come by eating and sleeping and doing nothing. You see, we are given so much opportunity in terms of things, exercises that make us develop. Take, for example, prayer. When we have prayer meeting, people don't come. Wednesday service, teaching service, people don't come. I bet even as we are I'm talking right now, there are people sitting at home flipping channels, watching shows and TV series. They do what? With their legs in a couch. Yeah. If you want to come, you can come. But it's an opportunity that they're throwing away. Are you understanding? Then let me just add one more. I believe that another opportunity that we can easily throw away in this church is the opportunity to acquire more blessings. To acquire more blessings. And it's the blessings that make us really rich. Do you know that? Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And he added no sorrow with it. So there are opportunities to be very blessed in different ways that would actually bring us to a place of wealth. All right? But I just want to point out one way that you can be blessed in a ministry like this. Are you ready? Now, one of the ways to be blessed is association. Okay? And it's a perfectly scriptural way of getting blessed. If you want to be blessed with a blessing on somebody's life, one of the ways to get it is begin to be associated with the person. Even in the secular, it works. Can't you see it? Huh? Yeah. It's called networking. Yeah. You want to be successful at a particular thing, find somebody who is succeeded. Befriend the person, stay close to the person, watch the person, be with the person, do what the person is doing, and you realize that you'll soon be where the person is. Simple. And it's a scriptural, it's a spiritual, you know, principle. You see, spiritual principles sometimes, it doesn't matter who obeys it. That is why worldly people are paying tithes and they are being blessed. They are not Christians, but they are paying tithes. They call it giving to charity. They give a portion, more than 10% sometimes, of their income to charity, and they are getting blessed. Okay? Now, the principle is in Genesis chapter 30 and verse 27. Genesis chapter 30 and verse 27. Quickly. We have just a few more minutes. We're done. He says, and Laban said unto him. So who is he talking to here? Who is he talking to? Do you remember the story? Who is he talking to here? He's talking to Jacob, right? Because Laban had tricked him. And he tricked Jacob in the night when he had drank something small and he wanted to be happy. When he woke up, he realized that he was happy with the wrong person. And so he stayed on more. But now it was time for him to go. He said, I'm leaving. And look at what his uncle Laban is saying. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry. For I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. Wow. So God blesses for the sake of someone. Blessings rub off from people, from one person to the other. Yeah. And I tell you that when you stay close to fathers, especially when you stay close to bishop, certain blessings will come upon you. And it's an opportunity to stay close. It's an opportunity to be close to him so that the blessing would rub off him. Yeah. Closeness, simple things like even listening to him, listening to his podcast, watching his video, you know, also podcast, we call it, right? The video podcast. And watching him, reading his books. Yeah, I love his books. In fact, I've gotten to another, you know, point in my life. I just love the books. And they are suddenly very open to me. I take one and I'm so happy. I'm just enjoying it, just sharing it. Are you understanding? So your closeness to a man of God will bring certain blessings. And that's also an opportunity that you should not throw away. Amen. So prodigal son wastes his life's opportunities. Number four. A prodigal son recognizes his mistakes in the midst of his life and returns to his father. All right? So that's a good thing also. A prodigal son would recognize his mistakes in the midst of his life and returns to his father. Now, this prodigal boy, at the point, realized, look, I'm struggling too much, isn't it? And he even asks himself a question that, how many servants in my father's house struggle like this? It doesn't make sense. So he said to him that, I will arise. He said to him, I will arise. And what did he do? He actually arose and went to his father and put into action all the thoughts that he had, that I would arise, I would go back, I'll go to my father, I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, I'm no longer worthy to be called as. So just treat me as one of the servants. So a prodigal son should, in the midst of his life, recognize. Unfortunately, it's not every prodigal son who recognizes that. Yeah. Some people, when they are set for the path of destruction, they go all the way to the end. And they are finished. But you should. When you realize that, look, I have certain prodigal traits, you should be able to make a U-turn and say, look, I'm going back. And not just think it, but actually do it. Put it into action. Is somebody hearing me? All right. So correct your mistakes. And the last one, number five, a prodigal son suffers the loss of many things because of his foolishness and his rebellious ways. A prodigal son suffers the loss of many things because of his foolishness and his rebellious ways. Yeah? When you are prodigal, the unfortunate thing is that certain things are lost and it cannot be recovered. Sometimes we do things and at the back of our mind we know or feel that we can turn to God later. You see? But there's always also the principle of as you sow, you reap. There are some things that you reap it. You get it? If you take, for example, David, when he, you know, a man David, when he did his thing and he sinned and he did something he wasn't supposed to do, took somebody's wife and organized for the man to be killed and all that, and he finished him, you see. Yeah? And in his repentance, you remember what the prophet told him? Yeah? That though, I mean, it's like God has forgiven you, but because of what you've done, you would also reap. And many people, when you are a pastor for not too long, you begin to even see that these days I've realized actually some of the problems when you are praying for it and it's not going, there are other reasons. We've applied all the principles of prayer. We've had faith, we believe, we've fasted, we've prayed, and all, what is it? Oil and all that. Yeah. Sometimes we must move into even praying for mercy. Yes, we must move into praying for mercy. And he says, that's how I like to pray. Yeah, because there's always a repercussion for some actions that we make in the past. God is with us, you see. And what we should cry for more is the mercy of God. Do you get it? So this prodigal boy, even though he came back, it was still not the same. It was not the same. We'll look at the elder son. But if you remember, when the elder son came in, he was very annoyed and all that, you know, and he said, why this your son, me, you haven't done anything for me. And the father reminded him, look, everything I have is yours. He didn't say that today to the prodigal boy. I mean, even though he was chewing the fatted calf. Do you get what I'm saying? He was eating the fatted calf for a day. Yeah. He was enjoying, and they had put a nice robe on him, a ring on his finger and all that. But it was still not like the elder brother. Elder brother, the brother, look, me and you, Charlie, air no the pass. You understand what it means, air no the pass? We are so close, air cannot even come. Yeah, can come between us. And all that I have is actually yours. You don't even have to ask, you see. And that's an opportunity which the prodigal boy didn't have, even though he's come back, you see. So what I'm saying is this, that if you think about this prodigal son, the best treatment or the best way to go is actually not to even dare be prodigal. Because when you're a prodigal, you spoil things. Even when after you've repented and you've made a U-turn, it's still not the same. Because like Bishop says, the father will be thinking some things that he's not telling you. He'll be smiling with you and loving you and all that. In his mind, Charlie, all that I have is for this one. He's the one who stayed with me to the end. So there's a blessing in being stable. Amen. So next week we'll continue. We'll look at the characteristics of the elder son. Amen.